What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Sarlacc Digest, a podcast bringing line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. This is episode 254, being recorded on April 10th, 2024. I am your host, Darth Moocher. I've got Scott Solo here doing some crazy fingers over there. We got Bootleg Joe.
Orderly Cardinals.
And the muted Grand Admiral Franz.
Sorry, in case the microwave went off, I was muted.
That's okay.
How come my fingers don't ever work the way
Only crazy fingers works up there.
I don't know what works.
All right. Well, we've got a cool show for you guys tonight. We've got some amazing, amazing drops to talk about, which always happens to work out right when we do a show. So, but before we get into all that stuff, and before we get into everybody's being digested in a pit because they're anxious, I'm seeing this long live the Empire stuff. I don't know what that means. Maybe this whole year-long Empire celebration is kicking into gear. But before we get into that, of course, Scott, you've got our Shadow Council and the pit to shout out. So go ahead.
All right. So, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Sarlacc Digest. Want to give a special shout out to our Shadow Council members, and that would be AJ from the Forbidden Panel, Brandon and Anya Epler, Brian C., Cliff, Commander Cook, Crystal E, Dennis McGrath, Don the Dad Dorn, Eric Grubb, Flavy Davey, formerly of the Nerds with Attitude podcast, Gavin Connor from the Holy Hour All Cure podcast, Justin the Vanilla Thunder, Luke, aka Junk Droid 77, Mervine Bolanos, Matt Logic, Nicholas Schaefer, Papa Schmitty, Ryan, and the Star Joes podcast. Now, I mentioned on Monday's show that Ryan has started his Stealth Hammer, his third issue of Stealth Hammer, the comic book that he did, the Kickstarter for that. So if you're interested in a really fun comic book, give it a look-see. It's really cool. So, and if you're interested in joining the Shadow Council, just scan that QR code right there and donate a buck or two. We'd really appreciate it. Or, you know, if you feel so obliged, go ahead and drop us one of them super chats. Those are kind of cool whenever they come through.
Yes. Don't stop there, Scott.
Okay. There's more. We've got Gordon Skalski in there. We've got Gavin Connor, Rhino Hobbies, Don the Dad Dorn, the Sabersmith, Bootleg Joe. He's so versatile. He's in everywhere all at once. We've got Is the Way. We got Mando Mike. We've got Jake Goodings in there. Jeez Louise, who else is in there? There's a lot of people talking. So, hey, if you're not, if you haven't said anything, say hi. We'll put your name on the screen. It's cool like that.
Speak up.
Yeah.
Speak up. Awesome. So, okay. Now where do we start here? I gotta say one thing. From last week when we spoke to this week, right? I know you guys feel the same way. I know the pit feels the same way. So I'm in my happy place when these things happen. We got the announcement last week and a trailer of a finished product that's coming in 30 days from when that was dropped, right? Around that time. And I was just like, that's how you do it. That's the MO. That is should be the way to do it. And of course, I'm talking about Tales of the Empire, which again wasn't Tales of the Jedi. It's this Tales of the Empire thing. It's making me so happy, not just because we're doing the Empire stuff, but the implications moving forward with these Tales of stories, harkening back to the EU days when we had all those books. And I have them all down here, actually, like, you know, 5 or 6 of Mos Eisley, all of that stuff. And we'll get into the future of that. But I mean, come on, isn't this the way to announce something to get us happy, not a 6-month thing or a slate that next year we're going to do this Tales of thing. It's trailer.
Yep.
May 4th. We are going to sit down and watch Tales in the Empire. I mean, I got goosebumps and it's Empire.
Yep. So. Don't let us have, like I said, 6 months to stew on it, tear it apart and hate it before it comes out and fight with everybody. You know, let's save that for after it comes out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easier that way.
Yeah. Or put it on a slate for 3 years and then just never mention it again because
Droids is rocking. See, that is on fire.
Especially like, that Lando thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Just like Sabersmith said, did anybody know this? What Tales was happening? My dad thought at first it was fan fiction. We knew a Tales of the Jedi season two. That's what we were told, but not a Tales of the Empire specific and changing the title and having a Empire centric chapter of this thing. You know what I mean? No, I didn't even hear whispers of it. Like this was totally.
It was anything but Tales we were just talking about, right? It all came from just fans saying this should be this, and everybody bringing up the old books. And
yeah,
you know, there's tons of Tales you could do and just keep doing one-offs. And this is the way to go now. We don't need a bunch of massive movies and things. You can just keep giving us stories like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mando Mike, go to StarWars.com. Go to our Facebook page. We posted the trailer in there and check it out, man. They dropped a trailer like
three or four times. Everybody was excited.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it when everybody's on the same page and they post a trailer. But
where you been, Mike?
you got to catch up, man.
He's not getting notifications. He just outed himself.
It's that bell. Right. looks like we're getting like Merrick, Grievous. Of course, it's like big Inquisitor thing going on. We got Barriss Offee, right? We got. Things that look, I mean, we're getting some closure / hidden chapters. I don't know what we're getting, but this is exciting.
Look at those troops, right? I mean, how far are we from the Clone Wars now? I mean, not far. It's just after, right?
Right.
So we're still post Order 66, just barely.
Right.
We
know that this is after Order 66, but Vader this is also before the last Tales of the Jedi too, because you see the Inquisitor in the background on this shot next to Merrick is the one that Ahsoka takes out in her part in Tales of the Jedi. And now we're getting some Merrick ahead of time. So that's kind of cool. Merrick might actually mean something actually.
A bunch of characters actually around Morgan Elsbeth are showing up right here, right?
Yes,
you got Merrick right there, and then the guy from the very first her first appearance.
Yep,
In that town is in the
trailer, old guy. Yeah. And then you know you get the origin
this is the Cumberbatch version. That doesn't right.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Maybe that's not like, Thrawn. Like
maybe this is Thrawn's cousin.
Yeah, maybe it's Thrang. I don't know. Maybe it's Prong.
Yeah, that's weird. No, the voice is right. It's just a weird look in this animation, right? They try to make him look real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but
it's the origin of Morgan Elsbeth and her connection with Thrawn.
Yeah. That's what we need, right? Because this is the way to do, I honestly think this is the real way to do things, right? We had these kind of questions come up during the Ahsoka series, and then it's like, well, how do they know each other? Well, okay, we could just headcanon the story and going forward, but now we're going to get these little 15-minute episodes on.
And I'm love it. Hey,
so much more enhanced.
You know what's wrong with that picture? His eyes. What?
Yeah, that's not Thrawn.
They don't look
Thrawn, but his eyes aren't red. They need to fix it. Yeah. That's the problem. That's why it doesn't look like him. If those are ready, be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, then we also have Morgan facing off against Grievous, which is pretty freaking cool. It's a little anticlimactic because we know neither of them are going to die in this scene, but is this the scene on Dathomir? Right. This is the ambush on Dathomir, right?
Neat.
Just seen from her perspective.
Yep.
So, it's very, very
cool. Also could explain Asajj if she survives this.
Yes.
Asajj is in that water. This could explain a lot. They could use this to explain a lot of stuff. We just haven't seen it yet.
They could, yeah.
Morgan could be the reason behind her return.
Could be. I did grab one screenshot, and I'm interested to know what you guys think about this screenshot. As who is this? Because you see
in the trailer,
you see battle droids rushing towards it. So this is definitely the Clone Wars.
Mm.
This is during Morgan's scene, I want to say. But who do we think this is?
That's the sister, the daughter. Sorry, the daughter. Or the mother. That's
You think it's one of the gods?
I'm putting it toward the Mortis thing because, again, more, I don't know, you know, the where they're at, where they went on Ahsoka. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, right? Because I'm going by the light, right? Who was the light side? Right. The daughter, right? So the
daughter was light side, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be, I'm just trying to put that in perspective in my own headcanon. Like, we got Morgan, we've got Dathomir, we have, something like that, yeah.
I'm trying to remember that episode, though, the Clone Wars, where that took place on Dathomir when Count Dooku, you know, unleashed all the battle droids on them. Was there a Jedi present? I don't think there was.
No.
I think it was just an absolute slaughter. So
yeah, it was the end. Yeah, it was Mother Talzin being murdered and all the Night Sisters being, you know, they resurrected the dead. They came back and they still got slaughtered. Yeah. But that, I mean, right. You know. Somehow Night Sister magic, you know.
Somehow
it looks really good. I mean, this is so cool. I watched that trailer many times and is still picking up things up like that, you know, like,
yeah,
like I didn't even put two and two together that if that is Dathomir, right? Those battle droid, that scene makes perfect sense because, again, what is the purpose of the Tales stories? It was to kind of like just bridge some, gaps in characters, like I said, how did he meet, or maybe a conflict within it, or whatever. I'm so happy with this. Mando, he's got to quit his job, miss too much Star Wars. I agree. I second it. You don't need a house. It's good. the Sabersmith on the Inquisitor one. The other one is the fourth sister from Kenobi. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gives her more screen time, which is cool. It's neat they can link those guys all over the place, right? And it makes sense why you'd see her in kind of like earlier and then not later. You know, these people grow out of their job.
Yeah, I want to see more Inquisitor stuff. Like, I know we got the premise and the base, and we got a lot of them in Rebels, right? That was like the introduction. We know who they are. But in Kenobi, it just, they existed. Now it's like, we're going to see some origins of it, right? We're going to see some some... I love that scene in the trailer. It was like, here's your basically the person you're going to be following. Then Vader walks through. So like, Joe, you have to be happy that Vader's going to be in this Tales, right? They are not skimping out on the Dark Lord himself, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was like, I was at the same way. I was like, is this fake or is it real? And I saw it. And it was on the Star Wars. It was on the page. I was like,
yeah.
Oh man. So then I went back to the chat to see if anybody saw it, and I was like, "It's not on here yet."
Yeah.
So I hurried up and posted it because it said it was only on there for like what 30 seconds or so.
Nice.
Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, "Wow."
Yeah. You clicked it. Yeah. You posted. I clicked it, and the first thing I did, StarWars.com. Oh my God, it's there. Like, is this?
Look at Tommy's right there, his last message. And that's what I was trying to get at.
That's exactly where I was going to, yeah.
Because I mentioned that in chat, right? This is exactly what I want. I want this whole thing with Bears. Yeah. I want this whole series. I want it to go straight through, right? And go through her story and I'll start to understand what's going on and da-da-da-da. And as soon as they say, here's your new master, he sees her and just chokes her out. And that's it.
Right there.
That's the end of it.
And if you notice, she's the first one to bend the knee to him, too. She's the first one to submit out of all the Inquisitors. And I could just imagine him turning around, because we all know that Anakin's really, you know, easygoing. He doesn't hold a grudge. That guy doesn't carry grudges at all. No, Barriss will be fine. She is so screwed.
It's not like the Emperor, who would use her as a tool, right? Vader is totally different. Vader's just like, you're in my presence, you die. Like, this whole, I think Vader, for the most part, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm here, I'm helping the Empire up, whatever. But you know what? I did this. This is my path, and I'm in this tortured state. But anybody who wronged him, or Ahsoka, or everybody, right? In this case, he would definitely.
In the comics, the Darth Vader comics, he's offed a couple of Inquisitors that just looked at him the wrong way. I mean, he does not
love it.
He doesn't mince words with the Inquisitors. They are his tools. And she is not long for this world.
No, and he's also got a thing where, you know, he goes back and forth and he'll go through visions of things and remember things and get angry and stuff, right? That's going to take him a whole half a second
to
see her enrage up, man. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Because you don't forget, just because you switch sides, right? Just because you switch sides doesn't mean there's anything less, no less anger.
Does Barriss know Anakin turned so would he let that be known before he cut her down?
I think she'll sense it right before.
You think she'll sense it?
She knows him. Right. I mean, know him personally. I think kind of like Vader when he says, "I sensed Obi-Wan." Right. I mean, I know they're closer.
Yeah.
Right? But I think to a point you can sense somebody's force.
But even Ahsoka didn't know for sure. You know, Ahsoka had a feeling, and then she didn't know for sure until she unmasked or, you know, cut his mask off. And
well, she knew. So, she was telling herself she didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She knew. That's why she passed. She knew immediately.
She was like almost like she didn't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She was trying to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
Do we think that he chokes her out, or do we think he just ignites the lightsaber and cuts her down?
I think grabbing her and choking her out.
Yeah. A little more personal that way, huh?
Yeah, we've got a lot of Vader lightsaber love lately, right?
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. I think a good, just quick, nasty, just choke her out is the violent way to do it.
I mean,
it'd be cool to fight I too, I guess, but
yeah,
he just did that. I just watched that with Reba, right? Where Reba, where he's just messing with her.
Reba,
that's all he would do with
Vader.
He would do the same thing, and there's so give us something different. Which is actually my argument. Which is actually my problem with today's Bad Batch, by the way. You know, just give me something different.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little later too. I'm trying to put this all in perspective of like the bigger picture of like Barriss and Vader coming to face to face. I mean, according to like Anakin has got the personal grudge. Yeah. Barriss had probably no clue why is this guy choking me out or kill. And the people around him probably know like what the hell just happened. It would be like his personal thing, and I don't think Vader would explain it to anybody.
Okay.
Therefore, I think it'd be more a personal thing getting those two in a room together, or not in front of the other Inquisitors.
I wouldn't mind. How about he grabbed her and pulls her right into he doesn't do it in front of everybody, right? Pull her up.
Yeah,
and right when she's dying, he whispers what it is, what happened, what's up.
Yeah.
You know, he breaks it down to her in a Vader whisper. In her ear, nobody else hears it.
Well, I know that like Vader doesn't care about the things like I don't have to explain myself, you know me, but thinking about this, like what you just got these Inquisitors who are ex-Jedi, all these things that you know, whatever they are, and their job is to hunt down Jedis and stuff. So what does that tell you if you just cold-blooded kill in front of the other people's eyes, other Inquisitors' eyes, you just killed one of our own for no reason, you know. That's why I think it's going to be personal. It's going to be a personal thing, like a private execution.
Well, at the same time, he's sending a message to the rest of them. Like,
exactly.
But why?
I ain't going to hesitate. I'll take you for anything to not fail, for, to not disappoint. Well,
I'm going to do anything he does, dude. He chokes people across Star Destroyers. It's what he does.
Yeah, but there's a reason for all that. It's for their mishaps, right? This would be like, I'm going to choke you for betraying the Jedi, and is that what they're all there to do?
No, I don't think he would put that much thought. It is a personal thing. I don't think he'd put that much, because if he does it later, then it's premeditated, right? I have to imagine that Vader's walking around kicking the ground, upset because Barriss is over here. God, now I got to deal with Barriss and blah blah blah. I don't want that. I just want pure emotion, like walking around.
Just go after.
What the F is this bitch doing here? Crush her and then be done. That's Vader to me.
And I mean, just imagine being another Inquisitor watching that happen. You're just going to be like,
and that's when you get to the not explaining yourself. Don't tell nobody else.
Well, I'm just kind of trying to put this into a different thing about like what's going on, what the purpose of the Inquisitors are. Well, is it? But of course, she throws that monkey wrench in that situation. Well,
they would give us the whole story. We would get all sorts of Inquisitor stuff. We would be enjoying the ride. Right?
Yeah.
The whole ride of the story, if they do it right, you just get from where she gets undone, they go through her training, we see the other
stuff,
all the way through it to right before they go out and really do the stuff.
If they do it that way, I'm cool with it. Like, I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm
good with that. Just leave her crumpled when they walk out the room.
Yeah.
That's how you end George Lucas's legacy of the Clone Wars.
Just start. By the way, I'm good with him just attacking her straight on, too. So, Ernie, the Fallen Fett, welcome.
What's up, Ernie?
To the Starlight Digest.
How you doing?
Good. Congrats on your 500th.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're
welcome.
Still working out there.
We are talking about the Tales of the Empire trailer that I dropped. Did you get a chance to check it out?
Yes. Super excited.
Okay. And so with... What was it?
We're on Barriss right now.
Yeah, we're talking
about Barriss. What do you think is going to happen when Vader sees Barriss and Barriss sees Vader? Vice versa. Not that it matters if she sees him.
Yeah. She don't know.
I haven't thought about it like that. I really don't think anything. I think he's in his Vader stage and he's had his other Inquisitors. I think if she knew the man behind who was Vader, I don't think she's going to figure it out. I think she's going to see Vader as just Vader.
But Vader knows. Well, yeah, on Vader Darius knows her, though. Yeah. You don't think Vader yes. would see her snap and then just crush her?
He wouldn't. No.
No?
No. What? No. I think he's been too on the dark side and too much building up his Inquisitors. I think to him, he sees it as a win to have her there.
Oh, see, I see her as a tool of anything. The Inquisitors are a tool, and he's going to use that tool to prove a point and to, because he hates her. That's his hate is anger leads to hate. Hate leads to her suffering.
I know.
And like I was just saying,
like stronger.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
Like I was just saying too. He also kills Inquisitors in the comic books just for looking at him wrong. So it's just, I don't know.
There's so many.
Par for the course. Then if he did that
Just
Who's our Facebook user of this week? Is that Matthew Carlisle?
That is Scott Winters.
Scott Winters. All right, welcome. Welcome, Facebook user Scott Winters.
I miss Scott this would Summers. Be
cool. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. This would be cool. He brought up a kind of a cool visual thing in my head. It's like we never saw a slow ignition of a lightsaber, right? What if he could control a slow ignition? Because he says, forget the force choke. I want to see him ignite the lightsaber slowly into her head. That's Vader. That would be brutal, dude. Awesome.
That's not happening. Yeah.
If Kylo Ren could stop laser fire right midair and just have it sitting there, you would think you could control the speed of ignition on a lightsaber that would be kind of epic. I'm sorry, it'll be cool.
It would be. They're never
and that would be cool. Very that's Vader-ish.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but also, Scott Winters checking in, Felipe checking in. We got
Felipe.
We've got 1313 podcast. We've also got Tommy and Jacob from 1313 checking nice. Also. So awesome. Yes. it's kind of cool to have these kind of moments of like, what was it? A couple weeks ago. Hasbro had their live stream, right? And they said this is going to be like Empire, the month of Empire or year of Empire. And I was like, what are they talking about?
Started in the third week of March.
Right. So the first time
had for the last how many decades, right?
Right.
All of a sudden it's Imperial March. You're like, oh, yeah, that makes
sense. So this is like, I don't know, man. I feel like I've not knowing like their marketing strategy for 2024. And with Imperial March, the dark side box sets that they're doing for like the figures, and then Tales of the Empire, right? Like this is a big theme that they're continuing on.
We got Acolyte coming too, which is
And so it all leads up to this Acolyte, the first dark side, or bad guy series, if you will, right? And I think it's kind of cool if it all does tie in and Acolyte becomes really dark, like the leaks and rumors and theories that are going around Acolyte, about being it like very, not just what we saw in the trailer, but very, Sith hologram or, going back to like, holocron. Thank you. Going back to like Old Republic stuff, like Darth Revan, Darth Bane, and their kind of influences around this whole thing. I think if it ends up being that kind of series, and so the marketing team was like, we're going to lean heavily on this. And of course, not just with Tales of the Empire, but like this whole 2024 being like the year of the Empire, that would be cool. And that's where I'm taking it. That's how I'm feeling so far. And to have it kind of come to fruition before our eyes happening before our eyes like that, it's kind of fun,
Because Bad Batch is literally the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're in the beginning of the Empire. You throw in this Tales of the Empire, and that's given us very early on stuff. It's
all Andor all dark times.
Good times. We get Andor too. That'll be good dark times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Acolyte's going to be a dark one during a bright time, the beginning of the dark times. So, yeah, it's a pretty jacked up year. I love it.
Yeah. This is cool. I mean, again, at a left field, what a home run. What a home run so far. Michael is checking in Federation representation. Hope everyone in the families are doing great. Putting baby Abigail Fett to bed. Oh, right. Just put the Sarlacc digest in the
back. I didn't realize that Michael and Ernie were related. If he's putting Abigail Fett to bed, I mean,
that is.
Wow.
I am Theo Fett, and that's my little niece, Abigail. Yes.
Nice. It's very all nice. Our niece.
Yes.
We also got Obi-Wan Chingones checking in. Hello, boys, tuned in and listening. Thank you so much. Orale. Quinn the Quesadilla.
What's up, Quinn?
What's up? Hello, hello. What'd you miss? Well, the Tales of the Empire. We're knee deep into the Tales of the Empire, being it a kind of a secret project that came thrust in our laps, because again, I think we're all expecting at the end of this year having more Tales of the Jedi, and then our theories went to like, okay, we're gonna get Yoda this time or whatever, mm-hmm. but now they're just going giving us like a Thrawn Morgan Elsbeth history there, some Grievous in there, and of course the Inquisitors, and maybe we'll get some answers to Asajj Ventress's return through that, like hints of it, right? Hints of how she can return, and it's all in the animated parts of it, so it works, right?
Love it.
Yeah. So what are we as a group here? What are we most excited? Because we're told there's two stories told over these micro series, right? Which one are we more excited about? Are we more excited to see the origin of Morgan Elsbeth and her in Thrawn versus Grievous? Or are we more excited about Barriss Offee and, you know, her becoming Inquisitor and the action there? Which one are we more excited for?
I think that there's pluses and minuses. Vader's in one, right? So that there's your plus on the Barriss. And so their interaction is the only reason I would even think about that side, because I'm not a Barriss Offee arc fan.
Right.
I didn't like Barriss at all. Me and you are pretty opposite on a lot of stuff, dude. I never liked the Barriss.
Sure.
It's weird. I was never into Barriss. This Inquisitor thing was kind of telegraphed for years, it felt like, right? Like, like, this is where it's got to be, because we never got her ending. So it's going to have to be that. I don't know, man. But with this other stuff, obviously Thrawn, but take that out, because I really just think Thrawn's a side character in that, and Grievous is a side character. So looking at just Morgan versus Barriss, Morgan for days. I want the Night Sister stuff.
Okay. Very cool. Because that's the angle right there, right? The Night Sisters, right?
That's going to get us into Asajj. Right.
That's going to
help us out.
Yeah. As far as like story progression and stuff that we're getting in future content, I think the Morgan Elsbeth Thrawn stuff is going to be more where we're going to be like really paying attention to, right? Because that's the information that we're going to be carrying over to Ahsoka 2, the Mando series. Like that's the beginnings of those shows. What the Vader stuff is filler. It's like filler stuff is Inquisitor stuff. Like what could they be possibly doing that's going to project any kind of more talk and story other than just, it's not just going to be cool looking and awesome, but what canon paths can we go down so much with the stories that we already know about versus the Thrawn Elsbeth stuff, Night Sisters, because that's like in the now, right? So it's a tough one, man. Like, what am I excited to see? I'm excited to see both. Vader, of course, but what am I going to be paying him more attention to is probably that Morgan Elsbeth Thrawn stuff.
Yeah, so wild. So do you think that the Elsbeth thing with Thrawn, and he's obviously not Grand, or
not yet.
He only had one bar on there.
Yeah.
Or one row. So are we think he's doing this do you think he's doing this behind Vader and the Emperor's back? The Emperor knows everything.
Right.
I don't think you can have the
Inquisitors. Is this part of the Emperor's plan? And we start learning a little bit more through Tales of the Jedi.
As long as you don't train him, he's fine with it. Like, just have assassins, right? Yeah. Until they get too powerful.
These guys have a way to come back from the dead. So that's important to the Emperor, right? So you wonder if this is Thrawn, and at the very end of this story, Thrawn's kind of talking to Palpatine about, this could be part of the plan. And they're 30 years ahead, or 30 years ahead.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, that's a good. See, now you guys are swaying me, because I was full on. You know how I felt. I always wanted to see an end to the Barriss Offee story. That whole betrayal of Ahsoka really pissed me off in that series. And she led to Ahsoka leaving the Order, the whole bit, right? I am really interested to see where that goes. But then again, you guys are swaying me now, because this is also the first time we're seeing the Mandalorian, the Mandoverse in animated form as well, right? We are dead on in New Republic time in part of this trailer. So that also gets me excited, is that could we see more of the Mandoverse in upcoming animation, right? Are we not going to be just stuck in live action? Are we also going to have some cartoons coming our way to flesh out some more of that Mandoverse?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Joey?
I'm leaning more towards the bear story, just because, of course, Vader. But it's gonna hopefully. This is what I'm hoping. It's gonna show what it takes to for them to become Inquisitors. So we might see from beginning to end how they convert them from a fallen Jedi to a full blown Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
So I want
to
see
their reasonings to switch.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The brainwashing. Yeah.
Yeah, because like. After Order 60, it's like, okay, a lot of the Jedi's lost their ways. Is that enough for them to join Vader and hunt down their fellow Jedi's? What else happened in their life? What else?
They believed the Jedi turned, that Yoda and the Council turned. Did the Jedi are like, you know, did you?
Yeah, did they believe the lies? Yeah. That's
fair. No, they're gonna
Yeah, Barriss, right. Barriss is already.
They're going to play off her reasonings behind betraying the Jedi in the first place.
Yes.
So they're going to use that, especially when converting her into an Inquisitor. It's not going to be a hard turn because she's already...
Well, she's already that way. Yeah.
Was Barriss's problem really with the Jedi or the fact that she saw the fall of the Republic?
Both, because the Jedi had become generals in the war and they weren't meant to be military. They were supposed to be peacekeepers. So her problem with them was multi-layered and, you know, to the point where she was using dark side to try and stop this
reeks of redemption again.
Oh no, she's toast, dude.
No, because she's anti-empire. She was anti where the Republic was. The Republic is they're the separatists now.
Well, that's where I was getting at in the beginning. I was telling like, why would Vader, if Vader saw Barriss and like, well, Barriss is doing.
Oh, that's political. Vader doesn't care about political. I'm talking about Vader. Vader's anger, his rage, is Caesar. No,
because he also tried to kill.
It doesn't matter if she came over a team. This isn't baseball, dude. It doesn't matter if you get traded over to the team.
He also tried to kill Ahsoka himself too. So, like,
but that's his job. I can talk shit about you, but you can't.
I guess I can see that. I can see that. But you know, even like Barriss's motive wasn't personal. But yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
That's a big piece. It's always about Padme, but that's another brick in the wall in his life, right?
Yeah,
it was Ahsoka, so she plays a part in this hell.
She does.
She's a definitely a piece in that puzzle.
Yeah,
hater
Ernie. Oof, cool. What do you want, Thrawn or Vader? Put it.
That's a messed up way to do it.
I know.
I don't think I want the others. I don't think they've shown us everything. I don't think it's just going to be those two.
Oh.
I think there's going to be more as we get closer to May 4th.
Well, I think this was just Dooku and Ahsoka, wasn't it?
It was three stories each centered around Ahsoka and other characters, like Ahsoka and her surroundings, mm-hmm. and then Dooku and her surroundings. Like, we had Yaddle. Oh, like, we can
two have stories. Closure
on Yaddle. Right, two
but
stories.
But you think it's going to be more than two sets of stories. Oh, cool.
Yes. So, See, well, I'm thinking like this was Morgan and Vader, like those are the two,
and that's what we're all going to be shown. If that's all we're going to be shown, Morgan, I think, is there to tie a lot together and answer stuff. So that's kind of a given. So it's the Vader that throws everything off. Like Joey said, are we going to see the introduction of Inquisitors? What it takes to be there?
I do want to see that. I do.
What is the behind? Them. I'm very intrigued in that because the Morgan is tying everything together for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the story, like, we know that's going to happen. We all have that kind of played out in our head. Oh, well, you know, Thrawn could be doing this or it's that. So it's we're getting the conclusion of our own thoughts for that. The Vader thing is what's going to be new to see why is he doing this? What is going on? We may have had the comics and everything like that. I still want to know, did the comics ever answer why they're numbers of brothers and sisters? Is it easier for that way for him to remember?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Can we...
You know,
can we see an answer to that in this?
I think if he does not have their names, it stays impersonal, right?
Right.
If you're
right.
just a number, just like the stormtroopers, they are just numbers.
Yeah.
It's just a continuation of that, right? I mean, because obviously
the biggest difference is to say brothers and sisters, though,
right?
Instead of, you know, we've said IS2 or IS3, right?
Because we got Merrick in here, right? But he doesn't have to be Merrick here. He could be ninth brother or 11th brother, whatever it is. But by the time it's all done, we get him in the future. He becomes
Merrick. It has Merrick not involved in the other story, who she's with later. That's wild. See,
right.
I just realized they're both in different stories from the same show later. I love it.
Yeah,
that's
Right. You're right.
So yeah. I'm into the Vader fun. More right. to find out reasoning okay. behind things. I want to see that.
And also could be like, how much information are we going to get on the Morgan Thrawn thing in an animated 15 minutes versus Ahsoka 2, right? Or like a like more of that stuff in the movies where the masses know about. I mean, if we do, it's just going to be like they said, like how Morgan and Thrawn are formulating this plan, or Thrawn has this, well, then the formulated plan. It's all weird, right? Because if things happen, it's like he doesn't know he's going to be exiled. So it's like, Disney, how are you going to?
This Disney animation has been so great, though, from the Star Wars stuff 100%. To the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just super excited about it. Like, I get what you're saying, but it's like, you know, it's going to happen. It is going to be an amazing 15 minutes to tie it together and what we're going to learn. Like, oh, crap. Yeah. Really? I mean, we see her with the staff. That's tied in right away. We're going to get early shots. Grievous is there. He looks insane when they show that. So he was still a part of stuff. Like, you know, it's going to be amazing, but I still feel like there's going to be something else.
Okay. Well, I don't think they showed us all.
They did the other ones in 3 bites. So I assume that's what we're going to kind of get here is some Clone Wars, like say using Elsbeth, Clone Wars, Elsbeth, meeting Clone Elsbeth, and then future Elsbeth. And that'd be cool. Same with, I imagine Barriss too. You're going to get.
Yeah. We're going to get three episodes.
Get Clone Wars, Barriss, or do we start? We have to start right after, right? And to make 3, he wouldn't kill her right off the bat. I don't think it was.
Unless it's not about Barriss. It's about, it was just even that 15 minute episode was about Inquisitors, and it happened to be like introducing her
as part of the
final,
party.
Part of that thing. Yeah.
I've got a feeling that,
I'll come back to this comment.
Yeah. Sorry. I've got a feeling that, some definite time has passed because we've gone from the Republic to the Empire. Already we're seeing the Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor training her. So we know time has passed where the Grand Inquisitor can be trained, right? There is a group of Inquisitors, including the one from, what was it, the fourth sister or whatever from Obi-Wan. Do we think that this is around the Obi-Wan Kenobi time? Do we think it's been 10 years of Barriss sitting in a cell? It's an interesting question.
Well, the only way to see Reva?
Well,
they didn't show her.
They didn't show Reva, no. But
you know, it's funny they use Merrick's name. I bet he's first brother. That'd be cool to hear.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's definitely that'd be cool to hear. He's gonna be a first brother. Yeah, first brother. Do we have a second brother? Do we know second brother?
He's right next to him. What was that guy? Which one was that one?
That was fifth brother.
That was the owl face. No,
fifth brother's the big guy.
The mask, the elf.
We don't even know. Yeah, exactly. So no, And going by what Chris spotted on the very first image with the stormtroopers, like we could sometimes gauge where we're at in the timeline versus what trooper, what phase of either stormtroopers or clone troopers they are. Those look pretty young. So this could be Bad Batch era where it's only a couple years after.
Well, they were still clone looking.
Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. There are some clones because you even hear
Bad Batch era, which is
you hear the clone voice after, too.
Yeah. It was, so it's gonna jump around. It's neat. I'm excited. And so the good thing is we don't have to choose between them both. We're gonna get them and maybe some more if Ernie's hopes come true. So hey man, no, that's a cool day, dude.
I think on Ernie's point, I honestly think we're gonna get more characters. I don't know if we're gonna get centered around these characters. We're gonna have them in, which we're gonna be just like I said in the old tales or the other tales where we got Yaddle. It was almost good. Like you can argue, is that a Yaddle story, a Dooku, you know, like, so I think we're going to have some of those kind of things, but it's, of course you have the character on top and it funnels down to whoever interacts with them. And we're also,
he's making me flash back to that Dooku one, how they tied in everything behind it at the same time. And that's what you kind of wanted. Man. That was a beautiful set.
Right? Yeah. So good.
The funeral,
like,
the
Sith, and I do think everything. You have to continue this sort of beat when you do these things, right? Because it works so well. And the comment was like, you know, do we know about the length of the episodes? We're just assuming 6 episodes, 3 each of each centric and ones, and 15 about 12 to 15 minutes each, right? So that's what we're assuming. Again, this was all out of the left field anyway. So Jacob, 1313. Blue Man Supremacy, Thrawn hype is real. Thank you so much for that super chat. Yeah, dude, like Thrawn, it's so interesting to have. Again, this is all something where I was so happy that this dropped because what did our minds collectively do as the Star Wars hive mind do? We all went there and we're like, all right, now we're putting Thrawn into the Imperial time, before Rebels. and be, and where, okay, it's like, he's like, where was he? Well, there he is, right? This, now we're
this
getting,
is when he's still kind of the outcast too.
Yeah, so this could be back. The this intro to his, he had a go back to that snapshot they had, it was he had his rank on there, wasn't it?
I think it's a lieutenant's rank. I'm not very, and it's,
he's in gray,
they're
it's,
all
he's
blue.
In gray and it looks like one all blue,
yeah.
And not, he's got blue eyes or brown eyes. He doesn't have red eyes. That's an issue.
No,
he's just dark.
Unless it's a shade. Yeah, unless it's a, you know.
That's the thing, is he's got a glow.
Yeah,
you can see him all the time in Ahsoka and everything else, right?
I agree.
That's a weird look.
Yeah,
he looks more Mantoran.
That reminds
me. He does.
He does, except for the yellow tattoos. But that, I mean, I looked at that scene and I'm trying to place it in the novels, right? In the Thrawn novels. Where does this sit in his timeline, right?
Well, that's
I definitely think it's the first book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that's where I'm hoping that, you know, because you guys that have read the Thrawn books and everything, the latest one, will. I'm really hoping that they will tie in those in. Yeah. That'd be fun, man.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That'd be so much fun. So now that we got Tales from the Empire, do you think it's, do you think this is just a one off and we're going to go back to Tales of the Jedi? Or do you think you think we're going to get more of Tales of the Jedi and Empire, but expanding on this new type of storytelling, Tales of, fill in the blank?
Just like, I mean, I think just like the books, they know what they're doing. This is straight off the stuff we used to watch.
I love it, dude.
Right. And they're using the Tales of, we're going to get palaces or bounty hunters.
We're going to get Tales of Boba Fett, how we used to be badass.
Tales of the Syndicates.
Right.
I
saw somebody did a meme, and it was making its rounds, man. And he had like 25 Tales of, right? And it had everything from Tales of Rey Skywalker, Tales to all the way to
I'm cool with it all.
Mos Espa or Jabba's Palace, bounty hunters. All, I mean, there's so many things you could do. I just hope it's not one a year, because you know, if they're doing this whole hired animation thing. Animators and like I said, one animation story is finishing, and but I hope we're getting a more than just two characters, six stories, and go moving forward. Like, you know,
yeah.
I just dropped that image of Thrawn into Photoshop, and I adjusted the levels on it really quick, and his eyes are red.
Oh,
yeah,
well, that's so better there.
I just brought out the color just so you could see that.
And the ranking. That's the ranking.
Yep. Good.
Blue.
He's perfectly fine then.
Yeah.
It's just Earth Ron. I dig it.
I like it.
Cool.
Scott with a quick Photoshop.
Right. I like how Morgan's wearing the same outfit, but Thrawn is obviously advanced in rank.
That's what they do. Morgan's
still just an Elsbeth.
Nice. I'm really happy about that. And of course, Empire, it fits right in our wheelhouse, dude. Okay, so going into Bad Batch, and I know 1313's in the podcast in the chat here too, because they're huge Bad Batch fans and they love it and they like talking about it too. So I'm kind of curious to see. We've got 3 episodes left, right? Today's episode dropped. It was called The Juggernaut, and I don't understand what Juggernaut fit into this.
The tank thing.
The vehicles.
He's Charles Xavier's brother, and that's why he wears the helmet, so that he doesn't.
He says, I'm the Juggernaut Batch.
Batch.
Yeah. That's how they use it.
Yeah.
So if you remember, they're crashing through walls just like he did.
Yeah.
So why not? And you got to get an X-Men tie-in because Disney... So I'm glad I could explain that to you.
Turbo. thank you, Ernie. Thank you.
Well, yeah, Ernie with the mic drop right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, peace, brother. I was just asking.
That was it. It's not one of the fun ones. Like, usually you have something that's cool and you're like, oh, that worked in 2 different ways. Oh, look, Identity Crisis. That works for this and for this. Oh that was fantastic. Now it's just
very straightforward. Yeah.
Because it was a filler episode.
It made me very happy that I have a turbo tank toy, because that thing is a badass vehicle. So I get what you're saying as far as it being a filler, right? But it also progressed the story. You know, they need to figure out how to get to Tantus. So of course they're going to go on a mission to find out where to. They can't.
Last
just
week I said specifically that was going to happen. That we were going to go on a mission.
Like calm before the calm
and the last minute will give us what we need out of the whole adventure. I think that was a direct quote the last minute. That's what we got. Oh, yeah. That's what sucks. Yeah. Because, I agree they have to get it, but you can also get it and do something cool else or move around or do it in the beginning. I don't know, man.
You didn't enjoy that?
I didn't enjoy the solo. No, right now we're in story mode. I don't need a solo chase again. I've seen all that.
I agree.
That's what it reminded me of. This was, hey, I'm with Fee. So guess what that means? Adventure of the week again. We haven't been doing that at all this season. And it was
First off, I forgot Rampart was arrested. I forgot.
Yeah. Rampart was cool. That was neat seeing him locked up. Totally cool. I'm down with that. Right. But the rest of it was like going on an adventure. Here's the part that pisses me off. Go on the adventure. Do this whole thing. How many times are you going to fall for? Well, I don't have the information on me. I mean, that's twice this season that's happened. Let me do the whole gig, do all this stuff, and at the end, pay up. Well, I can't. Get pay up first, dude. Start doing that. Let's work on that batch, you know?
Yeah, but had Rampart given them the information ahead of time, why would they take him off world? I mean –
it doesn't matter.
They would have if you asked them. They would like, yeah, let's do it.
Because they're dumbasses. And Omega would do it. All right. He's right. Somebody Omega would do it. He'd be the one saying it now. Omega would do it.
Yeah.
Everybody's pussified now by this point.
All right. Now, I was talking in the chat or in our personal chat that the sound on this episode, though, was absolutely off the chain. It was really excellent sound design in this, and that is what stood out to me above everything else. Other than the animation, the sound design, the weapons fire, everything was just amped up in this one.
It
was really, really well done, and I don't know why it stood out so much. Maybe it's because the story wasn't as important. Well, I guess, but I think the story was great.
I watched it three times to see what you were seeing, dude. I did. I'm like, okay, wait, well, Scott's seeing something I don't see. And all three times them all. Give me to Tantus. That's all I want. Just put me back. I don't need them at Tantus. I just want to see the story. Give me the story of Tantus and bookend it with the Bad Batch looking for the coordinates.
Now that's my issue. My only issue with the episode was Hemlock is taking Omega back there. He's taking her into the vault. Let me show you what it is, why it is that we need you. I'm like, oh, buckle up. Here we go, baby. We're going to see some Emperor clones. We're going to see some
kids again.
And it's just the kids again. That's the part that pissed me off. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Hey,
yet another breadcrumb towards the path. Now she sees a bunch of kids. She has to save these kids. This is all going this direction still. But I do love the explanation that when she's mixed with the Force users, now it's starting to happen. This is also why Grogu is going to be important in the Mandoverse, and also why we're going to see Grogu animated any minute. It's all good.
Jump in there. I see you wanting to.
I was just saying that I was just thankful for this episode that I could see it. I could be at work and see it. Because, the last quite a few episodes have been so dark. I was listening to radio stories. Yeah. Honestly, and this one I could see it finally.
You're right.
I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah.
All right. They did it during day. It was a daytime adventure. Oh, that was the other part. Okay. So there's the thing. And I know it's a formula for this show, right? But that was the other part. Can we ever just go on one mission? Just one where it's not near death, last second jump off of a ship onto another ship before it blows every episode, dude.
Have you not been watching Star Wars animated from day one? That is what
every
we do here.
Episode. I just want one day, I want one episode where they walk in, do the job, and walk the hell out and be like, cool, high five. Nice.
Yeah.
That's it. Wow. Like, why did everybody almost die again?
It would only take one time for me to give up. I'm not doing this ever again.
Yeah. Why? Wrecker. There have been 35 episodes, man, and you have jumped off some kind of cliff 14 times, dude. You can't have that kind of,
I'm going to. Okay. So, all right. So with this episode, yes, there are, and I agree with both arguments as far as like filler. And I agree with Scott. I agree with Chris.
Didn't hate it because it did move the story to Scott's point.
Well, it did.
I needed that 1 minute.
Yeah, it's 100%, right? And there's been a lot of those, and I look at that whole thing about like that last minute jump, and that thing. It's like, okay, now we're at the Indiana Jones part of this thing where it just works out, and which is fine, and that's like more again par for the course, right? It just kind of does its thing. The one thing that makes me like sit up and lean in is the talk, is the more the dialogue when Hemlock is talking about Omega's M count replication, right? He used that specific terms.
They can't replicate directly. They can't replicate it, but when they add her blood to them, then something works.
So they're using
the kids as a test instead of using Palpatine blood. You can't just use Palpatine blood.
Yeah, she's the base, the catalyst and stuff. Yeah. And so that's again, it all puts these questions in the air. Like, why was she engineered that way? Why did Nala Say purposely do that? What was the purpose of her purposely doing it to hide her? You're like, I'm gonna make this happen, but then to hide her from the Empire, it's like it doesn't, unless they were making their own Jedis. You know what I mean? Not the like a whole different thing going on. Who knows? But it's that point. It's like, okay, I understand I got to get 20 minutes to that point where it was like 30 seconds. And then we got three more episodes left. Right. And I think I said this at the beginning of this season where it's like, I don't think we can afford filler anymore. And I think we've done enough of it where we just kind of just put us on Tantus on episode one of this one. And let's have 14 episodes of, I mean, just balls to the wall, every story going. No, we don't have to baby step it anymore.
I think the problem is now we're going to have two rescues at Tantus now. That's kind of we're rushing to our second rescue at Tantus, and we already rushed to one rescue at Tantus, and it was kind of the same type of.
Yeah. But I agree. Like I said, 13 Rampart is playing chess, not yet. Of course, it's all self-preservation. I have information you want, so you're going to do this for me. And I mean, any smart person in that situation of power is going to use that. So
I get it, but it keeps happening to the batch.
They're gut, like you said, kind of like gullible. You know what I mean? And everybody, it's like they're, and everybody knows it. It's like, just call them. I can get anything I want out of them. Watch, and like Sid did it for years.
They're all dumb clones. I mean,
yeah, really, and like you said, no mission went as planned. No mission, not even easy ones. Like find a shipwreck or a spaceship wreck and just pull the computer terminal out and come home. And everything goes haywire in the meantime.
How hard is it?
Same thing happened in Rebels, though. Every time they went on a mission, something went horribly wrong. But at the end of it, at the end of the day, it all worked out.
Well,
the difference is, in Clone Wars, you could jump to different characters and arcs in Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll have a different squad of clones that it's happening to, or sometimes it's Obi-Wan, sometimes it's Anakin, sometimes it's both with Ahsoka without, right? Sometimes it's Padme, sometimes it's Jar Jar and Mace.
Sometimes it's a bunch of damn droids that just are stupid.
Sometimes it's an awesome void arc that myself and George Lucas both love, all right? So, I mean... whatever.
That's because you know why George Lucas liked it? Because it was safe. It didn't ruin anything.
It ruins everything. What are you talking about? Did you not see the special
edition? It was safe. It was a safe, like nothing, like it wasn't a, you know, they're going to. Killing me. Anyway.
And Gregor's drowned.
Yeah.
It's even better.
I know.
That's his
prequel. Exactly. Okay.
I know nobody agrees on that one. I've always liked that. I don't know. It's like a relaxing episode. I like having that. That was the first time we got a commando, you know? Yeah. So it was cool that way.
Hey man, I like the march in Andor. Some people don't. Great. I like fight the Empire. Some people don't. I mean, it just, this sometimes it just hits different with different people. There's right and then there's wrong. Patch you over there where there's wrong, you know, right?
Here, for a second.
There you go. Yeah. Wrong, right?
I'm allowed one, right? I'm going to do it one time.
But wait, hey, look, baby Abigail sleeping.
20-minute speech. Let's while it up. Now let's fight the Empire.
Yeah. Call the arms.
Hey, 30-second speech. Fuck the Empire. Boom. The whole crowd goes erupt.
No, it does.
That's what it does.
And all that do is
you have no clue.
Yeah, and they cheer.
Oh man, they just said "fuck the Empire." That's two, I know, but we're deep enough in the show where I'm probably okay not whispering. Yeah. But
just made a statement, not a call to arms. Oh come on,
dude. Okay.
We went over this so many times.
It's so much better with F.
I'm not buying more cards with you anymore.
Hey, Crystal.
Lies for days, dude.
Lies for days. Exactly. Crystal E checking in. Yeah, so.
I still love that.
I wasn't disappointed.
I'm still up in season three. It's not that, and this did have to happen.
Oh, yeah, no.
It just sucks that it's right now, because it's kind of like in this ramp where everything's been perfect all season. You do need a slower episode. And I don't mean to even say slower, because I mean they were nonstop falling off cliffs, but
yeah.
No, well, like the Sabersmith points out real quick here.
Post-man.
There we go. We haven't used that in a while.
No. So. No, it's just, you know, the things that trigger me, you know. Either
it's cool.
Give me 2 minutes of story in a 23-minute episode, or you know,
well, at this far late in the game, I'm it's like, okay, I get what Scott was saying, as far as like it had these things, it was cliffhangers and it had this action packed stuff. But like I said, with three episodes, it's just like any season that we watch live action, they do the same thing. Two episodes left, the one before the finale episode, the one before is the most exciting, the one before that is just straight up, I mean. Filler, yeah. If there ever was a filler,
wrapping up all the things that need to be tied up, right?
Yeah, and then you have, yeah, it's like then you have the episode before the season finale is the most epic, and then season finale is like, what the hell do we do? It's like almost every show.
But this had to happen though, because if we just started off the episode and all of a sudden, you know, they knew where Tantus was.
Yeah, let's get there, man. Let's go. We got three episodes of that.
Yeah.
Like
what was I'm gonna jump around here a little bit. What was Bombardier's job in the Empire? Remember, he had to go on that planet with Lizzo. I can't remember her name. But what was his gig in the Empire?
What was his job? I don't remember.
Oh, I'm just wondering. I don't know why it hit me right now. We're in this time frame to see like young people like that from the Mandoverse, like other characters. Like see Jack Black's character animation this time, working for the Empire where he's supposed to be,
as a scientist or
an engineer or whatever he was. I don't know why that just hit me right there. But
13 Theory says engineer.
Maybe there you go. Engineer? You can use that anywhere.
Engineer.
Yeah. That felt right. So I don't know why. Sorry, my mind was.
Jake Gooding is killing two birds with one stone. I'm watching Bad Batch and listening to you guys so much. Star Wars at once. Yes. Yeah.
You got time to watch this while it's going on, because there's a long in between in that show, right? You got about 16 minutes in there where you're just on a car.
Yeah. Like I said, I forgot that Rampart was arrested. I forgot. Cool. Like I have to go back and go, why was he arrested for? Like, what happened? You know what I mean? I forgot all that stuff.
He was thrown on the bus for something. I think something went wrong and he just got the blame for it.
Yeah.
They blamed him for Kamino.
Was it
for killing Kamino? Yeah. For the blowing up of Kamino.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They took out,
where they destroyed everything. And then we got the Senate shot, right? And that's kind of the whole, Jesus Christ, the senator, Emperor Palpatine's an asshole because
that was a scapegoat. He was a scapegoat.
He just took that dude
drank the juice too, so that's messed up, right? But sure. Drinking the juice before means he probably drinks the juice still. So
right.
He wasn't willing to just hand over the info, you know. He was trying to stop them. Well, he was going for the blaster to shoot them before they could save him. You know,
he's definitely not pulling a Callus. Like I'm gonna join you and help you fight.
Don't repeat that again. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah. And they didn't, right? I mean, Rampart was true to his thing. He was just, I think he was just.
This leaves it at we're in this together. I'm like, no.
Yeah, kind of not.
Somebody shoot him.
Are we though?
Yeah. So 1330 is confirming Ernie's right. Palps blame the clones. Blind loyalty to get the bill from a TK. Yeah. The TK troopers passed it. Yep. So Obi-Shan is saying, does Rampart want redemption or revenge?
I hope redemption within the Empire.
With the Empire, yeah.
He wants to go back. So you think he's sitting there because that's his duty to be the scapegoat? Yes. So he's that loyal. But then he said he also gave up. He's going to give up Tantus too.
What if the cavalry has arrived isn't the good guys?
Oh, that preserves your Mount Tantus theory.
Yes. There we go. Mount Tantus stays. We're taking the batch out on Tantus. Hell yeah.
So like what I'm saying is Rampart, we don't know if he's given up the coordinates yet because we haven't gotten there. We didn't have enough time in the episode for that to happen. So but he said he was going to if they got him off world, right? So
he had a way to do
that loyalty.
No, he said he doesn't have the coordinates. It was designed that way. He said it's made to where you can't get the coordinates, whatever it is, right? You have to You know, and that's interesting because they do use that stuff in the Chiss books, right? The Skywalkers and things like that. So that's kind of interesting. If they have to, and in the High Republic too, they're not Skywalkers. They're was it the High Republic? Maybe it was no.
Yeah, it was the Nihil. The Nihil used navigators. Yeah, they used force.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, what's his ass from The Force Awakens, the old man from the beginning? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Senteca,
Lor Senteca. His ancestor was a Nihil agent that was the one that used the force to get them on the path.
Senteca, right.
They
right.
used the pathfinders.
They had one in the chambers being tortured, right? I think they killed that
person. So that's what it's going to take to get to Waylon is some kind of force sensitivity. We just don't realize that right now.
I just want them to say Waylon. I think that would be awesome.
Record did last week.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Last week.
Shit. Now I got to go back. Sorry, guys. I got to go watch last week's episode.
Bad Batch again. Wrecker said it of all the clones. I know.
Thanks, Wrecker. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
okay. So, okay.
And that could be why when they pull Omega, like if she gets off the planet, right? They're going to have to escape like on a Star Destroyer or something, or on a ship that's not theirs. They're not going to be able to fly it out of there. So they're going to have to stow away. They won't have any kind of coordinates, nothing, and no way to get back. So it's a way to preserve Tanis. I don't think it's going down. The Calvary is going to be the bad guys.
The also way to preserve Tanis is she gets off in that meeting part. They remember how they don't meet on Tantus. They meet on that outer whatever. So maybe the Calvary comes there to rescue Omega, not on Tantus. That preserves Tantus. I'm just trying to help you out with this preservation of Tantus moving forward.
Yeah.
For Heir of the Empire.
That's a lot of stuff in there, man. You can't destroy Tantus because you know the creatures are in there. You know, like we know the Zillow Beast is in there somewhere. That's the second mountain, right? Or Denver or the
Everest. Right. Right.
That's the one thing we are going to get no closure on. We're going to get Varys's end. We're going to get Morgan Elsbeth's beginning. We're going to get every clone in the Path series that we're going to get. We're going to get the answer to Cody and all these other characters. We'll get it all. But there will be no freaking Zillow Beast anywhere ever. No. It will be the unsolved mystery of Star Wars.
No, they said they're going to tie everything back, and they've been hinting at it, right?
We've got three episodes.
Are they not like cock teasing seriously that it's going to happen? That's how I feel. Like this, and they're like, they never said Zillow or anything, but you get the idea that it's a beast. You know that the Emperor wanted it, and that's where they left it so many years ago. It's got
at this point, I want to know what's the project. I just want to know about Necromancer,
right?
I don't give a crap about Zillow Beast anymore.
Yeah,
three episodes,
unless it's a direct tie in. Yeah, it got three episodes. let's see here. 1313 saying, did you guys catch the TV spot they dropped where you can see the batch? Has all blacked out armor. I did not, but that's interesting too. As far as like the info, what's the next three episodes' names?
I'm on it.
To see if there's any kind of like covert,
one of them
name drops in there. And also, Scott, are they any of those double episodes? So is it two more weeks or three more weeks? You know what I mean?
It's 3 weeks. Last one's a double.
Oh, is it?
It ends on the first. I think I thought it was a double episode. The last
it does end on the first. Let me see. I'll get you the answer. 1 second. Okay. I'm right there.
No problem. All right.
Almost there. All right.
Almost there.
Into the Breach is next week. So we get Into the Breach, which drops April 17th. We've got Flash Strike, which drops April 24th. And then May 1st, we've got The Cavalry Has Arrived.
So the next two could be covert stuff. Like it does have those Into the Breach and
Flash Strike.
The Flash Strike could be this type of like, yeah.
Well, they still have to, you know, they went on the mission. They got the guy, but they didn't get the information. So now they've got to take the guy to the other place to get the information.
The secondary mission.
And then on the last two episodes will be the finale.
He's like, I know a guy, takes him to Boba Fett. Boom, boom, boom. Now we go around. It's all good. So
Boba Fett knows a guy, takes him to Mando. Mando knows a Jedi, takes him.
Mando's a kid right now. Stop.
Wouldn't it be cooler though if he took him to see a former Jedi named Joris Saiboth?
Yes.
Yes, dude. Shut the fuck up. Sorry, I know that's three.
Wow, dude, we just went from PG to R just on that one moment.
No, he said that. He shouldn't have said that. He knew that was going to elicit that response. That's automatic, yeah. Man. Yeah, that happens, dude. I'm out of my chair. I'm yeah, calling all of you personally and this, crying. That'd be awesome.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And cool. I know like there's a lot of people who like I said, loving the Bad Batch and what it is and stuff. I to me, I'm looking for that kind of tie in, that type of moment to make me go like Bad Batch is an official like love of Star Wars chapter in our collective, not just a Clone Wars series season. That's just kind of like, okay, it's just, this is what happened in here. I would love that kind of tie in to where, again, if they do tie, you know, has something where it has such impact going forward, but you're introducing it here. So when the Muggles view it, it's all brand new to them. But this is where it's at. Like Bad Batch really ushered in this, you know, really cool.
Yeah, it's like almost we're gonna have to go through later, watch all of Bad Batch and like say which one, okay, I could do without this, 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 and this. And like, sure, we just find this little chopped up order.
Yeah.
I kind of did that with Rebels, right? Because I've watched Rebels like 4 or 5 times now, and I've gone through, and the more I watch it, the more I'm like, no, because this was essential. Even though this is a filler episode, this was essential. I can honestly say season 1 of the Bad Batch. And I know Tommy said there was no filler in Bad Batch, but season 1 of Bad Batch had a lot of filler episodes.
Yeah.
It was kind of tough to get through it at times because I'm like, it's not furthering the story. We're getting a lot of character development and we're getting introduced to these characters and we're getting to know how they tick. Mm-hmm. And you get to see that interaction with Crosshairs going bad. That was very cool. But just furthering the story, it was lacking there, and it didn't really kick up.
I didn't know what we were doing. Like, what is this series set like? Bad Batch, what are we setting up? Like that intro episode with the Order 66 and Kanan and all that stuff was like this. Okay, whoa. All right, yeah. I see where you're at. Yeah. And then the next 12 episodes before we had the Tantus reveal was like, what? I don't know what the series is setting up. Right,
the Tantus reveal was the highlight, and it was like the very last 3 seconds. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's like up until then, I didn't know what this series was doing. Like, what was the purpose of it? I know that we're transitioning from clones to stormtroopers. I see the oppression of, you know, the chain codes, introducing of the chain codes. Omega's taking killed. Yeah, it's like it had the kid not listening. Ahsoka, Ezra, and Omega, all 3 young characters that did not listen one bit.
And you don't like any of them at first. I didn't like Ezra at first. I thought he was annoying as hell. It was Ezra growing up when you started to see, okay, he's grown into this.
Yeah.
Ahsoka, we've all had the same experience with Ahsoka. I don't care who you are. Nobody liked her in the very beginning in that movie. Right? And it took a couple years to grow on you.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Omega. I tell you, a little bit last season, we're like, all right, she wasn't hitting the bingo card as much. Right. You could see it when you do it when you track with data like that, like even if it's dumb, like a bingo card, you're like, wait a second, that's all of a sudden happening a lot less. She's not annoying me as much as she was. Boom, boom, boom. Right. Then you get to this season, it's like, oh no, she's just part of the batch
because they put her in her room. That's why
she's an important character now, though.
And like, you're right, because Ezra and Omega, almost line for line and action for action, were almost exactly the same, always saying, but we gotta help them. We gotta save them. And they're like, "You're gonna get the skill.
I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, you're gonna
do it."
Ezra, though, at the beginning, he had like a self-serving. He was more self-serving than Omega. Omega was always goody two shoes.
It seemed like after he got his training with Kanan, he was always, but we gotta go.
Around help. I know 2. More than you.
Yeah. Attitude. Yeah. I'm gonna leave here. This is the right thing to do. I'm gonna go do it.
Which is every teenager, right? They're
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't
apparently like that. So
I was
far.
Like, I was like, you want to go out?
Oh yeah, because it's Luke too. You know, finish your training. You must. No. I'm gonna rush head first and go fight Vader and save my
finish
homies.
Your tra- well, yeah,
exactly. This is the right thing to do.
And that's master.
That's when you're a kid. Then you get older and you figure it out, and you're like, oh man.
He's telling Ray.
I'm going to stay on Octo because I should have just stayed on Dagobah.
He's telling Ray, he's like, yeah, you know, I shouldn't have ran off like that, but it did work out. But, you know, Kylo wanted to do it, and I tried to kill him. So
I just got my hand chopped off. And you
know. Yeah, it was a great move. I mean, Han's got captured anyways. I literally did nothing to help anybody. As a matter of fact, I made the Falcon come back and save my butt. Literally nothing positive came out of him being there.
You know, if you look at the timing on that, maybe he still would have, maybe Luke would still got the torpedo off, but died in the process. And then Vader would have blown up with the Death Star and Luke blown up by, you know, like, Yeah, so it's like, okay, and but so you have no Empire, you have, I mean,
I was just thinking the positive of him showing up on Bespin on Cloud, but then I realized the Rebels, Leia wouldn't have got out if R2 hadn't been there. So never mind. Right. It was true. Important that Luke went to Cloud City. I was just gonna be like the nothing changed in the story if he didn't go. He did
this is
up.
Not the Raiders of the Lost Ark, damn it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You can't take Indiana Jones out. Nazis still get the Ark.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gore, yeah. This, I mean, it is important to set up, like, especially if you're doing a long form series like Bad Batch. Three seasons is still a long form, right? Gordon is saying, I think the first season of the Bad Batch was just hashing out the Bad Batch interactions together and trying to develop their characters. Yeah, it was a bit slow, but has definitely hit its stride in 100%.
Absolutely.
This season, it did again. Now you can pinpoint, if you're describing the Bad Batch to somebody, you said, well, this series sets up this, and you're going to see why the Emperor did what he did going forward. You're going to see why he had, you're going to see maybe somehow he came back, maybe be told here, Yeah. And that's where I think it was our stumbling out of the gate, trying to describe what are we doing here. Even the second season of Bad Batch was more or less their role of just being clones anymore, and that whole Empire turning over to troopers and that whole role, right? And then now we're getting into like cloning stuff. So
can we assume that every time a series comes out and they announce a second season in the middle of it or before it, that the first season is going to be character development, and then the next season is going to be the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, it usually happens that way. You usually put your head around and say, okay, if there's a second season, obviously people survive past this conflict. Like Scott was saying, it's like you've seen these pictures of like Grievous and Elsbeth. Well, we know that nobody dies there, right?
Yeah,
we're seeing just like the prequels. Like, well, we know that Obi-Wan doesn't die in this whole battle. It's like, come on.
Well, that's how it's always been with Star Wars, right?
Absolutely.
Besides the original three.
Yeah. It was the journey. It was fun. But yeah, so like announcing it does kind of put us like, okay, what are we going to accomplish?
No, he's right. You're like, oh man, you're going to do two. That means this isn't going to finalize anything, but at least I'll like them better next season.
Yeah.
That's how you guys, if you didn't like it a lot, season two will be better. Like Resistance, if they popped out of season two, I bet Resistance season two would be pretty decent.
I think so.
They did. Resistance.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You're right. How many seasons did that have?
Two.
Two.
Oh, yeah. Just two. Third, maybe? Yeah. Would have been okay?
Sure.
By the eighth season, I think we would have got a little bit.
I mean, it's like a season. Oh, no, you're right. No, sure.
Why not?
Whenever you've got a cartoon that does absolutely nothing and goes nowhere and has no repercussions, even though world-shattering things are happening at that same moment, You're basically watching Tom and Jerry
And Kaz wasn't going to become likable.
Seeing his father in Ahsoka just makes me hate him even more. It's like,
oh yeah, yeah. He's all the New Republic.
And those small things are cool when they world build and galaxy build.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave off with this discussion of Jake Gooding says, do you guys have any favorite voice actors in any of the anime series? Yeah, Nicholson, Thrawn. Do you think is absolutely perfect? I think that Hemlock is absolutely perfect. Hemlock.
Oh, dude, yeah, great call.
I don't know the name who did it, but wow, the ones that really stand out to me. Established actor.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, obviously, D. Bradley Baker, because he does a lot of stuff.
Hondo,
he does a lot of heavy lifting.
He does all the clones, right?
Yeah, the clones. Yeah.
No, Hondo is Pooh Bear.
Yeah. What's Hondo, his name?
I just lost it right now.
Jim
Cummings.
Yeah, there you go.
That's an interesting one too.
That talk real fast. Where's he at yet?
It ain't happening, dude.
I know.
Shad Batch might not be the show. I think
it's really not. But it would have been only if we get to the path part. I mean, then I think he needs to connect there, and we're good.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
If he was a part of the path, I think it would have been something that would have come up in Rebels, because at when he appeared in Rebels, he was a privateer on his own. He was a pirate doing his pirate thing. And at the end, it was just him and his Ugnaught going out there and helping Kanan and
I agree,
Ezra.
Man. I agree.
I don't think he would helping, be part of the
panel. Helping start it and helping be a part of it in the beginning and saying, okay, guys, I got to go.
If he was hired, to hired. Use his connections for the smuggling routes and stuff.
Some of his best friends are Jedi, you know? and he gets really along with kids. He's different, right? Put in Jedi kids in trouble. Hondo is the one I would want in that series.
Yeah.
Okay. No, as far as, but yeah, Hemlock, the guy who does the voice of Hemlock, he's great.
It's just like.
Like, I want to see that guy in live action. I'm ready for that character. Oh. That character is horrid.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like he should be like later on. We're talking again in the Ahsoka verse. He's still around. I hope, you know. The Ahsoka verse, even Mando verse. Sorry.
Yeah,
I switched it up. My bad.
It's okay. We all knew he even,
Hemlock though. The actor even kind of looks like him too. So I mean, he's definitely one that can move. Yeah,
they probably do that on purpose. They do all the time, right? I mean,
He was in Westworld. Yeah,
so when it does come into a live action, it's a great transition. You know?
Yeah.
You bust a couple Kenobi 2 out. That's perfect. You know, he has to go against the cloning stuff or whatever.
Yeah, but that is a tough question about the animated voice because there's so the talent is all there. Like it's just all there. You know.
Yeah, Ashley Eckstein.
Might as well be Sam Witwer.
Anakin. Darth Maul. Come on, like.
Tara Strong do any other voices?
Who?
Tara Strong. Does she do any other voices?
Not in this show.
No, never mind then. Yeah. That would have been number one. Just saying.
Yeah.
Different reasons. Two different reasons. Yeah.
By the third season of Resistance, I had to put my eyes out with a sharp stick. You and me both. I didn't even finish. We forced Scott to finish the second season. None of us wanted to.
I watched it twice and I don't remember there's being a second season.
Yeah. None of us
wanted to. I don't remember it at all.
Scott? Yeah.
It was just awful.
I was waiting for one of you guys to go, just kidding.
Yeah.
Like for reals. And I was like,
well, I remember those days. We're just like, all right, Resistance. What happened, Scott? Because none of us watched it.
Is that why?
Yeah, goddamn thing.
Yeah. It's like we made Scott eat the vegetables.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mando Mike.
Give it to Scotty. He likes it.
Mando Mike couldn't even make it the second episode of Resistance. Yeah. So, this is a good one. Saber Smith. I'm impressed by just the sheer amount of views the Tales trailer. Lucasfilm just doing a victory lap. Everything, and I'll make this back full circle. Everything that happened with Tales of the Empire, from just the surprise trailer to the announcement of a May 4th drop, completed, all done, was to me the way I remember growing up, as far as like hearing about a movie and then seeing it a month, 2 months later, and then and talking about it during school and all that stuff, and just being very cool with everything instead of the year and a half slate that comes and goes, and then problem with this director, and then that actor falls off, and it's just like, okay, what are we doing? I like, if it's done, it's done. Present it. Here's your little hype or month thing going on. I think that was perfect. If we can get that way back to the movie stuff where it's a 3-month thing, you know, like we see trailers drop happened, 3 months. Yeah. I know I missed DNA, but I missed like if history can repeat itself in this way, I think it'd be very, very positive move.
I feel short animations like that are much easier to pull off a secret, you know?
But like, think about like going to the show on June, whatever, and you see a Mando Grogu coming to theaters. Yeah. And like coming November 20s, you know, oh my God, it's in 3 months. Like,
that's how it was.
It's like
the good old days.
Yeah.
It's like that, Beetlejuice, right? The trailer for Beetlejuice 2 dropped. And it's happening in September. It's none of this
right.
crap where it's, you know, 2 years. It's,
but no, it kind of was. That was talked about for a very long time.
The
thing is, we don't do a Beetlejuice podcast.
Right.
That's so true. We're not all up in the shit.
Yeah, the talk about, again, there's been talk about Back to the Future 4 for years, right? And then when they finally do it, it's the same thing. Well, 10 years in the making, right? It'd be like this, and it'll suck because timing. It's all about timing. Yeah. That's why I'm afraid about the Beetlejuice thing. I'm afraid because of the timing. It's all about
timing. Yeah, it's like, kind of like you're kind of like riding a Michael Keaton wave is what it is right now.
Yes. Just do it before he's too old to do it, right?
Yeah, while he still looks good right now.
Like Michael Keaton.
Like he can be everything. Let's use
exactly.
it. And get all these nerdy, nostalgic dorks to come out and
We're gonna, of course. That's they know. Gonna do it.
You don't even have to. There's a formula for that, man, and they got it.
Yeah, it's back. It's not Michael Keaton.
The Flash.
Yeah, it's not Michael Keaton. It's Gen X and stuff. It's like wait until that. You know, let's not wait until they can't go to the theaters anymore. So, all right, guys. Well, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. I like being, you know, hyped like that. That was a good turn of events versus I was waiting for like D23 to announce something like, okay, here's a new slate. And what are we going to be disappointed in the next 6 months about being taken off, or what directors deems I'm just too busy to do this.
And, we'll believe it when we see it.
Exactly. Right. You're crying wolf too many times with us now. Now it's just like, if we see it, we're going to go in that line instead of like, I'll wait until this comes out. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Thank you, everybody in the pit. Thank you guys for joining us. Of course, I'm going to kick it over to Ernie. But before I do that, you know, we'd have our toy show, the Toy Chest, which is all Star Wars collectibles every other Monday. So we just dropped episode 3 last this week. So go check that out, of course. And then just like we almost went there, we almost went with a Beyond the Pit there with Beetlejuice. That's exactly how the Beyond the Pit starts. Someone brings up something, and an hour later, we're talking about Terminator 2. And it's just how it works. And it's all fun still in our little wheelhouse. So with that, of course, like and subscribe. But Ernie, it's all you, man.
Yeah, come with me if you want to live. And then check out the Terminator 2 reference. You know, every Terminator movie. Because that's what we do here. Yeah. Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
All of them. Do you guys still do that too? To this day, I still do that on a lonely road. Like if you're on the road by yourself and you drive in the middle. Yeah. Yeah.
You drive in the middle. It's Terminator and it's Close Encounters.
True.
Closer for Close Encounters.
The sad part is it's all scary real now, no matter what we say, right? From Terminator to Close Encounters is like happening. So,
yeah it's like
we're saying our own. Yeah.
Fiction anymore. It's like, yeah,
right. That's the sad part about it.
AI is a great idea. What are you talking about? What could go wrong?
So scary.
What can go wrong?
So the episode of Bang, scary. Right? When I sell nothing but warnings. Don't open the rock. I sell nothing but warnings.
It's not like they gave us a whole bunch of movies about AI taking over the world. No.
Yeah.
Anyway. Preparing us. That's it. Always preparing us. So in order to stay prepared, catch us on all those replays, please. We have tons of great content here for you to go follow on all social medias as well. From Facebook with our Sarlacc Digest Central for all 24/7 Star Wars talk, to TikTok, Instagram, and much, much more. But then catch all the replays back here on YouTube. And don't forget to miss all of our new scheduled content that is coming out. And will be you'll have to catch up on there before you know it. So jump in off the gate on those. And make sure you tune in to all the new episodes that we have. And then come back here and bring your friends for another Wednesday episode of the Sarlacc Digest as we get into this ending of the Bad Batch and actually see what happens. Is there going to be a Zillow Beast? Is everybody going to die or not? Let's see what
happens. The Emperor riding a Zillow Beast with a saddle. Never mind.
Next HasLab confirmed. Right. I will buy that.
Oh, my God.
Their ship blew up. So that's what confirms it is the last one. It's going to be a bad batch.
That's
ship.
Right.
It blew up.
Yeah, speaking of repeating yourself now, we're Marauder
confirmed. They waited until they had their money and it was being produced before they blew it up.
Now they're trying new waters, right, Scott? So it was a ship we already knew blew up, a one that blew up during the thing, and that one, and now it's like this one already blew up. So give us your money.
With comes with all those exclusive black outfit Bad Batch 99.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only way to get Bad Batch figures. That'd be great.
Yeah. So that's why.
If it is a Marauder, I'm going to laugh. So
yeah.
Right.
Join
everything
us
that blows up, episode. They're going to make a ass laugh. Death Star coming, man.
Yeah. Don't forget, though, the only thing that isn't in part of those HasLabs is your Tashi Station Emporium figure stands. You have to get those over there.
Hasbro doesn't care if your figures fall, but I do.
Yeah.
I care.
That's right. But Moosh does.
I care.
I care. And on every shipment, they're filled with love. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah. And a little beard hair.
Yeah.
Hey, look at Mutt. He is standing on a Tashi Station Emporium stand. The only
earthquakes won't knock him down.
Nope.
Yeah.
What was the Richter scale that they're approved at?
5.0 and a weaker
on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever the Jersey earthquake, now it's confirmed 5.0. I don't want to test anymore, but I mean, 5.0 is a pretty good test already.
We've got a couple of decent ones here, and your stuff doesn't fall.
No, we've had our last one was 6.4 or something like that, and nothing on my shelf fell. Nothing.
Because of Toshi Station Emporium figure stands.
That's right.
Yes. So go check that out. Thank you, guys. We will see you next week. And with that, Scott.
Keep it nerdy, everybody.
Okay, bye.
You stole your line.
Freeze frame.